Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
She had a child by that man from the bank. He was married with a son. All of her family said, give that child away. Try to erase what you done. But when she held that sweet boy in her arms, none of her words meant a thing. And when she held that sweet boy in her arms, she heard the quiet angels sing.
Steve Martin and the Steep Canyon Rangers featuring Edie Brickell are hitting the road fresh from their Grammy win for Best American Roots Song, and they'll be at the Palace Theater in Albany, New York on Friday night.
Amazing.
It is amazing.
Yes.
The concert will showcase new material performed by Steve Martin and Edie Brickell, including selections from their incredible album Love Has Come For You, along with the unique hybrid of bluegrass and comedy that Martin and the Steep Canyon Rangers have been delivering to audiences across the country. It's a great pleasure to welcome back Steve Martin to the Roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us.
It's my pleasure.
Very nice.
And looking forward to being in Albany. You know, we shot part of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles there.
I did not know that.
Yes. Yeah. We chased around the country looking for snow.
Now, the last time you were at the Palace Theater, I believe it was you and me on stage, and I was interviewing you for an in-conversation event.
So. Absolutely, and that was really, really fun. You did a great job.
Well, thank you
very
much. But now,
but also, so did I. You're supposed to say that.
I was gonna say. And now you have incredible backup, much more so than just I, and we'll be putting on a much more labor-intensive show, I think.
Well, I don't know if it's more because, you know, it's labor-intensive to very spontaneously answer questions and be entertaining without any, you know, plan. But here we have a plan, actually, and we get to play songs. So, you know, maybe, you know, the audience will answer that question or it will be answered in the future, probably in 10 or 20 years by someone else.
When you have this group that you've put together, and you've been working with the Steep Canyon Rangers for years now, it's your third album together. What is it like to then add a singer, to add Edie Brickell into that mix, not only in just the performance, but in the actual musicality of it?
You know, it's changed everything quite a bit. You know, when it's just guys, and we're doing our sort of kidding around banter and then playing these, I'm gonna call them macho songs because they're, you know, I like to think that they're sensitive, but just adding a woman into the mix, it really changes everything because, you know, the music becomes in a way more musical. And also, you know, Edie and I have written all the songs and some of them we've actually incorporated into a musical we've written, which is going to be done in San Diego. And, you know, we can kind of swing from song to song. We have, it's just a bigger musical show with much more variety. And I always thought of our show with the Rangers as having a lot of variety. And now it's even much richer. I think it's a much stronger show. It was always very tight, a tight show with the Rangers and me. And now it's broader and I was just thinking about it last night and how much of a richer show it is having Edie on board.
You spoke about the music that you've written as far as the musical sense. Last year at Powerhouse, you did a stage reading of Bright Star, and now, as you mentioned, it is moving on to the Old Globe in San Diego.
Right.
When you were writing that music, was it always the intention for it to be a musical, or did that just evolve?
Oh, no, not at all. Yeah, and only, we have, I think, two songs remaining from our album out of 24 songs that are in the musical. So we have 22 songs that are brand new for the show. you start thinking, well, we'll just, we'll have a lot of these songs, and they're really nice songs, and we'll put them in the musical. And then the story takes over, and you realize, oh, these songs actually have to conform to the story that's being told, not the story conforming to what the songs are saying. And we had to change lyrics, and Edie's very good at that, very adaptable. She likes to do that. And, you know, we couldn't say, when you get to Asheville, send me an email anymore, because the song is, that particular song is set in 1945 now. So, it's a vast undertaking, writing a musical. And I always say, almost on any project I've ever done, if they told you ahead of time how much work it's going to be, you would say, oh, no, I don't think I'll be doing that. Thank you very much. I'll just stick with what I'm doing.
But it seems to be work that you enjoy, that transformation. I'm assuming what I saw at Powerhouse will be very different from what I will see at the old
club. Yes, it's changed quite a bit. What you saw at Powerhouse was people on stage with scripts, and when you finally see it actually being performed and staged and lit and having the music developed, a lot of those songs that you saw are just gone. And not that they weren't working. We just think we have something better,
And am I right in my theory that this is a process that you enjoy, of watching that transformation, of making something better?
Yes, absolutely. It's very exciting, to sit with Edie and the director and just go through the script line by line, and the lyrics line by line, and the music line by line, and just thinking, and then watching it in these preview, or not even previews, workshop processes. And letting your instincts be free, and sense, darkness when something maybe is just a little slower than you'd like, or maybe the story is not being exploited in the right way or being told in the right way. It's just a really you're just using all your brain muscles at that moment. You're completely captivated by something and slightly in pain.
When you were working on the first two albums, and it was you and the Steep Canyon Rangers, but primarily it is you writing the music, it is you coming up with the list of songs. So to do that collaboratively, it's a different process, but also a process do you think make you a better musician? Does it help
for
a better product?
Because I'm learning something. I've been learning about this all the way. And to have, Edie writes the lyrics, I write my own lyrics when I'm doing my own songs. But in this case, Edie writes the lyrics, and I just find her take on things is just so different from mine. And it's very educational, and she finds things that I just never would have found. She'll hang a lyrical line over the end of my musical phrase that I would never have thought of. She'll find subjects I wouldn't have thought of. She always finds it from the music. It's never abstract. I'll just take this thought and stick it on top of this melody. It's always coherent. And she lets it flow from her mind. She always plays the song I wrote, and then she just kind of listens to it and walks around and sees what comes out. And then she becomes quite a craftsman with it too.
When you started doing this and becoming, and I think we talked about this when you put out the first album, was there a concern when you went out on the road that people would still expect the comedian And has that, I assume that's pretty much gone away because people know much more what you're doing now, right?
Well, yes, they do. But also, I wasn't concerned that they would expect comedy because I provided it.
Right.
We always do comedy in the show, and I like doing it. And I like the structure of it now because it's not solid comedy for an hour. It's broken up with music, and I just like the shape of it. You know, these little finite bits of comedy that, and then comes a song. It actually reminds me of when I started out. That was the folk music days, and that was always the shape of people's shows. Is a little comedy, a little music, a little comedy, a little music.
Because in those early days, when you went out on stage, you had a banjo in your hand then.
Yes, I did. But I didn't sing. So I only really played a song or two in those days. I'm just really talking about the other acts.
Right.
You know, that I saw.
So when you came back to do it, it had been a long time since you had done, and this is not that, but it is a long time since you'd done straight stand-up. So did you find that there was an aspect that you missed that you enjoyed incorporating into these performances?
Yes. You know, I love timing, or I love knowing that you've got something good coming up. And there's just certain, and it's funny about, we'll call it a joke. I don't like to think of things I do as jokes because you're not really telling a joke. It's just a funny line or a funny attitude or a funny moment.
Mm.
And it's just almost like a warm feeling knowing that it's there and it's fun to do and it's fun to time and it's fun to get it right. And it's as good as a, you know, it's as good as anything for me professionally, let's put it that way.
And meanwhile, you continue, you can do this, you're still making films, you are still doing other aspects of your career. So it's really just expanding. It's not taking over one for the other.
Yes, right. But I, you know, it's the kind of thing that you actually, meaning these tours, that you actually can't stop because you become rusty as a musician, as a performer. So it's a little bit strange. You know, we used to do our tours only in the summer, and I'd find after 6 months off, you're really good. Now, what was that? How did we play that? You know, and now I'm changing that just to do not so long a running time, but, you know, just do 4 or 5 days, but more often, so to keep the chops up.
You're planning more albums, I assume?
Yes, but I'm not rushing it. We have enough songs, but I like to play them on stage for a while before we go into the recording studio, so we really know how these songs work and what's the best orchestration of them, even though that might change in the studio. I'm realizing that you can't just play on an album, play it the way you play it on stage. It's a record is a very different thing. In bluegrass, you would, but the last album I did with Edie taught me, I actually like to change it up a little bit and you know, bring something different to a recording than I would on stage. Although we can play it, we can play everything we did on the Steve and Edie record. We might be missing a few instruments, but the Steep Canyon Rangers can play all those instruments, except maybe cello, you know.
Mm. And then, of course, there's Bright Star, and the assumption being that a Broadway run would be hoped for.
Yes, that our, but we're looking forward to doing it in San Diego. It's a great theater. I've had a long relationship with the director there, Barry Edelstein. He produced my play Picasso,
right?
And he directed The Underpants, and had that's had a So it was great. I sent him a very early draft of the script. He said, I'd like to do it here. And when I look at that early draft and think, wow, he committed to it, you know, before it was, you know, it's come so far, let's put it that way. So he saw something that really wasn't there yet.
So it will start in the fall, and assuming then that'll take up a lot of your time, and
yes,
then see what happens.
I'll be very busy and working very hard at that point.
In the meantime, Steve Martin and the Steep Canyon Rangers featuring Edie Brickell will be at the Palace Theater in Albany, New York on Friday night. You can find out more at palacealbany.com. Steve Martin, a great pleasure to speak with you again. I look forward to seeing you at the Palace on Friday night.
Yes, and I hope that anyone who comes, if they're asked what they're doing, will use the entire title of the show. They'll say, what are you doing? I say, well, I'm going to see Steve Martin and the Steep Canyon Rangers featuring Edie Brickell. They must use that entire title.
Hashtag.
Okay.
Steve Martin, thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate
a lot.
It. Thank
Bye.
You. Again, Steve Martin and the Steep Canyon Rangers featuring Edie Brickell will be at the Palace Theater in Albany, New York on Friday night, 8 o'clock. You can find more at palacealbany.com. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
Now when I die, now don't think I'm a nut. Don't want no fancy funeral, just one like old King Tut.
King Tut.
He could have won a Grammy.
King Tut.
His sister was his mommy.
Born in Arizona, moved to Babylonia. He was born in Arizona.
Got a condo made of stoner.
King Tut.